John chapter 9 and verse 10. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am him. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. We know that the God will bless his word this evening as we have read it together. Shall we pray together, please? Father, we thank you for your help in the service thus far. We thank you, Father, for your word that we have just been reading. And the prayer now of your servant would be, Father, that you would help us as we seek to expound the gospel in this meeting tonight. Father, you know those who are gathered with us this evening, those who love you, those who don't love you. And we pray tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of God might speak, that they may come to realize, as this blind man did, that he needed his sight. And the only one that could give it to him was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask you to close us in with yourself. Take away all the thoughts that have been occupying our minds, even today, Lord, and grant that our minds and our hearts may be clear and receptive to the Word of God this evening. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were asked for a text this evening, my text would be that verse that we read this evening. A man that is called Jesus. The entire chapter that we have looked at this evening is entirely taken up by the story of this man. There were many questions that were being asked by the disciples. And this man had been taken by his family each day to the corner of a street or a road where he would have sat continually begging for his living. He would have had a very dull and a very boring life sitting there day after day. But then one day, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was passing by. And as he was passing by, his disciples were asking the question, Who did sin, this man or his parents? The Lord Jesus Christ answered them very briefly and said that it was neither he nor his parents, but this man's blindness was to glorify God. And as it is sometimes turned, and as it is when someone turns from their sin and puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and seeks to follow him, they lose that spiritual blindness and they see the light of the glorious gospel. With all the questions that were being asked by these people, they then turn to the man himself and ask him the simple question, How were thine eyes opened? And he made this statement, I met a man called Jesus. And I know that this evening for many in this meeting, that has been the same experience in their lives. Many of us have come to the Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways. But at the end, we all come through the cross of Jesus Christ. This man said that the Lord Jesus Christ had made clay and put it on his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he makes this statement and says, I done that and my sight came back to me. A very simple story and a very simple answer. Go and wash. He done it and he received his sight. And today it's just as simple as what Jesus said in those days as it is today. The thing that Jesus says to each of us today is not go and wash, but he says come and put your trust in me. But there are three very simple questions that are asked in this passage of Scripture this evening. And by God's help, I would seek to try and answer each one of them. In verse 36, there is that simple question of three words. Who is he? That was the question that they asked. Who is this man called Jesus? He's the Son of God. He was the one who was promised before the earth began, as we look in the book of Genesis. This was the man that was promised before the foundations of this world were laid. He was the one who would defeat Satan, death, and the grave. He was the one who had come to set the prisoners free. And as we look through God's word, there are many titles and many things that the Lord Jesus Christ has been given. And this evening, because this is the only authority that I can speak on is God's word, let me quote you some of those titles who this man was. In the book of Genesis, we read he was the seed of the woman. In Exodus chapter 3, he is the great I am. In Job chapter 19, he is the Redeemer. In the Song of Solomon, he's the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. In Isaiah 9 and 6, he's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 28, he is the Chief Cornerstone. Isaiah 35, he is the way. Isaiah 41, he's the bringer of good tidings. Isaiah 42, he's God's servant. Isaiah 53, he's the man of sorrows. And as we move through the Bible, we can see that even from the book of Genesis right through, there are many titles that the Lord Jesus Christ is given. In Daniel, he was the Messiah. In Zechariah, he was the branch. In Malachi, he was the son of righteousness. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he's the son of David. Matthew 1, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In John's Gospel, he was the Word of God. He was the Lamb of God. In Acts, he's the Prince of Life. In Romans, he's the Justifier. And one could go on from Genesis right through to Revelations, and there we will find out who this man was. Every one of these titles that I have given to you, men have taken them and preached many messages on the titles of Jesus Christ and what they mean. But whenever we come into the last book of the Bible, we find in Revelations chapter 22, it says this, he is the bright and morning star. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everything. He's everything that we need in life. And he is the Son of God who came into this world that he might bear our sin. Who is he? He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The second question we find in verse 26, and it says this, what did he do? And I have no need this evening to stand in Lisburn Baptist Church and tell you folk what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But let me go through it this evening once again to remind those who may be in the meeting of what Jesus Christ went through to pay a way for us to come back to God. We read in the Bible that he left the splendors of heaven and he came into this world as a babe in Bethlehem. We read that he became poor that he might win us for Christ, for himself. He was born in a stable. For so many years he worked in his father's carpenter shop, and from the age of 30 he went about doing all that was good, healing the sick, making the blind to see, making the lame to walk. He cured all manner of diseases. But his main objective in life was this: to fulfill his father's wish, his father's will. Do you remember, as a small boy of 12 years of age, as he went up to the temple at Jerusalem and he stayed behind and his mother came looking for him, and his answer to his mother was this: "Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business." He came because he was sent by his father. In Luke 19 we read these words: "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You may be sitting in the meeting this evening and you say, "But we're not lost." But I want to assure you this evening, on the authority of God's word, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening, the Bible states clearly that you're lost and you're going to a lost eternity. And that's who it was that Jesus came to seek, was those people that were lost. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and 19, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." What Paul is saying there is simply this: that because of Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into this world, and because of his disobedience, all were born in sin. That's what he says in Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin has separated us from God. And the only way that that sin could be taken away was by the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. By making his way to the cross at Calvary and there taking our place. What did he do? He came to bridge that gap between sinful man and a holy God. How did he do it? By taking our place on that cross just outside the city wall. Well, we might sing the words that the hymn writer has written many years ago: "There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Let me very simply take you through the steps that the Lord Jesus Christ went through for each and every one of us this evening. First of all, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we read the words in the Bible about Jesus, there are very graphic words, and the things that were happening to him, I believe, were very important. You see, as we read these words, I come to this conclusion that Jesus was under great stress. Listen to what it says in these passages. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Exceedingly sorrowful. His mind must have been going through a lot of things. And I remember hearing some time ago a man speaking about, remember when Abraham was told to take his only son Isaac, and he was to take him and he was to offer him up as a sacrifice to God. And as that man left that day to make his way to the place where God would take him, there beside him walked his little son, Isaac, the only son that he had. And as Isaac walked down that road, he knew nothing, absolutely nothing, of what lay before him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, knew everything that was going to happen. And I'm sure you have read and seen on many occasions of some of those people who are facing the death sentence, and their mind is in a turmoil of what's going to happen to them. And I believe as the Lord Jesus Christ knelt in that garden, he realized of the many things that were going to happen. And being human like the rest of us, he wished that this thing could pass him by. But listen to his words. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. You see, if for no other reason, the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to go to the cross on Calvary and die for Albert Smith, even if there was nobody else. And friend, this evening, that's why I praise him and thank him day after day for the day and hour that he saved my precious soul. But he left Gethsemane and he went to that place called Gabbatha in the judgment hall. And we read quite a lot about this in Matthew chapter 27. And it says this, and the soldiers were given Jesus and they were to take him out and they were to strip him. And then they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own robe on him and led him away to be crucified. I try in my simple mind to think of what Jesus suffered as he stood in that hall before Pilate. When these soldiers would buffet him, and they would jar him with the things that were in their hands. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected. He was wounded and he was bruised. He also says in chapter 52, his visage was so marred more than any man's. And I try to get into my mind what the Lord Jesus Christ must have looked like as he stood in that judgment hall before Pilate. And I realized that it was all for me. Those soldiers were fulfilling the duty of the country, but Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he went through this that he might win us back to God. But they went a step further and they took him to that place called Golgotha, where they nailed him to a cross. And when man had done his worst on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole world. And in those 3 hours of darkness, God took your sin and my sin and laid them on his beloved Son. What a weight that must have been. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sit and think of the sins of my life and my early life, it must have been a terrible weight that the Lord Jesus Christ had to carry. But he done it because he was fulfilling his Father's will. And then we read in John 19 and 30 that Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." Redemption's work was complete. He had come to go to Calvary that he might fulfill his Father's will. And that's what he done as he hung on that cross of Calvary. And the sinner friend, this evening, it was for you. It was for me he came and hung on that center cross that he might take away our sin. But then we read in the Word of God that he was taken down from the cross. And he was laid in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb, where never man was laid. And the soldiers came and they sealed that tomb. They sealed it thinking that he would never get out, making sure that the guards would be there, that the disciples and those who followed him wouldn't come and open the tomb and steal his body. And they'd done all they could to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't be taken away. But you know, as one has said in the past, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let those in to see that he had risen. And he showed himself to many people that were around him in the days after that. But that's where the third question comes in this evening. And that third question is found in verse 12. And it says this: where is he? Well, I know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he met his disciples and he met other people in that upper room. And then there came that day when he went outside and up onto the mountain with his disciples. And he left his disciples and rose up into heaven, up into glory. And I'm so thankful this evening that before he left, he had already told his disciples that there was a day coming when he was going to leave them. But he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And that's where he is today. He's in heaven, preparing a place for those who love him. He's sitting at his Father's right hand this evening as my advocate. He is pleading on my behalf. He's in the glory. But I'm so thankful that I know he's there. And I know he's pleading on my behalf. He's there listening to my prayers and my requests. He's there to help and to guide me every day of my life. But I'm also glad that he's given me this answer: I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so as you can see in this gospel message this evening, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of this world, has made it possible for sinful man to be made right and righteous in the sight of a holy God. He has paid the price of redemption. There's nothing more that we can do. It is finished, as the Lord Jesus Christ had said. And so this evening I wonder, has it ever been your privilege to meet this man called Jesus? Have you ever had that experience to know your sins forgiven? Has there ever been a time in your life whenever you realized that you were a sinner in the sight of God? And unless your sin was dealt with, you would never be where Jesus is. I thank God, as a young man, after being brought up in a Christian home where my mother and father loved the Lord, they prayed for me night and day. And I must admit that in my early teens, I broke my mother's heart, but she never gave up. And on the 3rd of September, 1957, as a young man, I knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ and I asked him to forgive me my sin. That night I met a man called Jesus who freed me from sin. I remember back in those days, I had tried time and time again to give up the smoking. I couldn't do it. Every time I gave them up, it would maybe last for a half a day or a day. And maybe somebody in work would walk past me and they'd blow the smoke in my face and I would feel like pulling the cigarette out of their mouth to get another puff. I couldn't do it. I had a very dirty mouth. My boss used to say, "Albert, God should have put a chimney in your head, because every time you look at you, there's smoke coming out of you." But I want to say this. on the 3rd of September 1957, when I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I never had a desire for a cigarette. And God cleaned up my mouth, and my life changed completely from what I was to be a child of God. And what I couldn't do for myself, we try it every year, don't we? Turn over a new leaf. New Year's resolutions, but they never last. But the night that I trusted Christ, He changed my life completely. And you might say, Albert, but you don't know the type of life that I have lived. You don't know the things that I have done. Listen to me, friends. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us from all sin. And tonight, He's willing to take your sin. He's willing to release you from the power of sin. And one day He's going to release us from the very presence of sin. And tonight He can do it for you. If you acknowledge you're a sinner in the sight of God, realizing that if you die without Christ, it will be a lost eternity. But also to realize that Jesus is able to cleanse you tonight. Jesus is able to save you. And thank God when that day comes, when He will come back again, for those who trust Him, they will go to be with Him. When the Bible tells me which is far better. This gospel message is for everyone. It's not only for those who are educated or rich. This gospel is for the whosoever. John chapter 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you want everlasting life this evening, friend? Jesus is ready. Jesus is willing. God is not willing that any should perish. That's what He says in His word. Friend, if you're sitting in this meeting tonight, and I trust it might never happen, but if you waken up in a lost eternity, remember this. That's the decision that you made. It's not God's desire to send you to hell. He sent His Son to die for you. And I trust this evening, as you think on these things, that God's Holy Spirit might speak to you and that you might realize the great need that's in your life. Not only the great need that's in your life, but the urgency that's in your life. For none of us know. None of us know what a day will bring forth. We have watched our television this week, haven't we? Seen young men wiped out of this world in a matter of seconds. Young people that have been killed on the roads. I visited a young man in the hospice this week, and 3 weeks ago he stood beside me on a building site, and I would have took an insurance policy out on his life. He's got a week to live. Friend, tonight we never know what's happening. Pastor Carson, when you would ask him, "How are you keeping, Sam?" His answer would be this: "As far as I know, I'm all right." Very wise answer. None of us know what's going to happen to us. That's the urgency of it today. Today, you may seek His voice. You might seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow may be too late. I trust that you might do that this evening and accept this man called Jesus into your life.